It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. It's going to be one of those weeks here on this show where we have a plethora of college tennis content coming your way. In fact, with the NCAA round of 16 looming this weekend, we figured it was time to bring back one of our favorite bits here on this podcast. It's time for us to roll out our 2024 NCAA press row. Over the course of the next 4 days, I will do my best to interview each of the remaining head coaches for our 32 men's and women's teams still alive in the Division I NCAA tennis tournament. I will try my best also to ask each coach the same series of questions. Things like, what were the highlights of your 2024 season? What were the biggest surprises throughout the course of the year? What is the advice you would give yourself if you could go back to January and do so? And then, of course, we get into things like trivia, non-team-specific storylines, and so much more. I promise all of you will enjoy this exercise, and I sincerely hope this will help prepare all of you for this weekend's upcoming NCAA action. Of course, those round of 16 matches are going to be available on our Crack Rackets YouTube channel. Our coverage starts Friday, so hopefully this will again prepare all of you for that action. Hopefully you listeners will be inspired by what you hear and come tune into our coverage of postseason play. With that said, it's time for our 2024 NCAA press row. Westhoff, let's get to it. The man that sings tries it. The amazing Mr. Please, Please, Please himself. Joining us on the podcast today is a man who I'm ashamed to say I am seeing for the first time in 2024. Of course, his teams has been one of the best stories of this season as they ran an undefeated road all the way through the SEC regular season. They captured the SEC tournament title as well, and then they offered us one of the most exciting matches of the opening weekend of NCAA tournament play. It is great to have back on the program the head coach of the Kentucky men's tennis team. Welcome back, head coach Cedric Kaufman. Coach, it is good to see the playoff beard in full effect. I imagine there was some sweat in that beard over the course of the weekend, but a few days later, how are you and the guys feeling?
Look, thanks for having me this morning. A few moments, scary moments, but I trust my boys in the last 30 minutes of matches, but I'm happy to be here with you. It's been, I haven't talked to you since last year.
So. Yeah, no, I've missed you. It's good to see your smiling face. And look, yeah, let's just start with this weekend. Obviously, this was an Illinois team that underseeded, given the fact that they dealt with so many different health issues throughout the course of the regular season. And the moment I came out in the draw came out, that was one I circled as, hey, this one could be sneaky fun. It certainly was. Your guys ultimately having to dig out of a deficit, but once again, they come through. Jack in particular, another clinch in what has been a remarkable season. Talk me through the weekend. Talk me through what was that remarkable 4-3 victory.
Yeah, I mean, the draw came out. The first round, second round, and then the NCAA, as you know, everybody's feeling good. Everybody is ready to play, and they're going to compete very hard from the first to the last point. And usually most, like I said, the first round, DePaul was also confident coming in, so we had to take care of that match. There was a little bit few delays with the weather. I think that Friday day for the whole all across the country was a little crazy. But we knew Illinois was a top 15, maybe top 15, top 10 when they played really well with the lineup they brought when we played them in January. And it's funny because they had played Toledo the day before and they had pulled three of their top four and got tested. It got really, really close. And we did not know what lineup they were going to throw at us. And I know, you know, Brett Dancer, like I said, we did not know what he was going to do with this lineup. And after the doubles, you know, when they won the doubles, we saw everybody was playing and we're like, okay, this is going to be a tough one. It's always a tough, the first weekend for the Wildcats are always tough for us. It seems the NCAA kind of gets in that Friday, Saturday of our exam week. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we're not quite into our routines or practices. They sleep a little less, but that's okay. If we can weather that weekend, we usually feel a little bit better by the second weekend, because now we can get back to our practices, our scheduled times. They can get their sleep and stuff. But Illinois, we knew were going to be very, very tough. They're a well-coached team. They and again, at the NCAA, you know, they have some seniors and they're going to fight hard.
Yeah, and, you know, again, for your team, you dealt with, you know, undefeated in the SEC season, but to your guys' credit, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, you trust them in the final 30 minutes to pull away in a match. Like, you guys played a lot of, even if it wasn't 4-3, a lot of, like, 4-2s or 4-1s with three third-set matches and things coming down to the wire. You know, how familiar do you think that feeling was for Jack and for a freshman like that to pull through in that moment after dropping a first set 6-1 to obviously a guy in Ali Okonkwo who's got some real weapons to make you uncomfortable in a moment like that? Break down in the third. What'd you see from him?
Well, Jack is built different, you know, just like Eli and Eli Stevenson. You know, like I said, they're built. We knew that coming in when we recruited them and talking to them and things like that. Now, doing it as a freshman is really hard. Mm-hmm. You know, they usually come around my sophomore, but these kids have we trust them, and this is why they're in our lineup. But Jack just has to be the right words. You know, you have to connect with him at the right time. You can't overcoach him. He's somebody that you don't want to give him too much information because he's so smart already. You don't need to tell him too much. But if you look at it, the last 20, 30 minutes, you know, we were down. Actually, the biggest moment probably is Josh. There's two big moments in the match. Josh being down 5-2, two breaks. And us winning that first set gave us a little room. And then you're going back to Jack. He was down. He had momentum after winning the second and the beginning of the third. And this is where tennis gets, you know, you have to be kind of think about the important moments. Jack is up 1-0 and he has break points. He doesn't get in, gets frustrated. As a little bit of a freshman, he should have gone ahead a little bit, doesn't. And he loses his focus, loses a little bit the pattern of play that we, you know, that he had throughout the match. He gets frustrated. He gets down 3-1, 15-40 to go down two breaks. And we kind of, I went to him a little bit and I said, Jack, and he's pissed as can be. And I said, Jack, just win this next point. You win this next point, it's going to be a 30-40 kind of pressure point. You might get a little bit more nervous. And he kind of play point to point. Jack holds that game. And then I let Matt take over, you know, at the end. I step away because I could, you know, I'll help Matt and stuff like that. But I want to step away because sometimes head coaches create too much pressure. And then... And Matt did the end of the match, and Jack just professional returns. If you pay attention to the level of play, you know, Illinois at that spot just serves rockets. And Jack just put rackets in and made him play deep returns and started the point out that way. So it was tough for him to come forward. And Jack is just so tough. Again, the last 20, 30 minutes, he's not going to give you a point. You're going to have to hit winners on him.
Yeah, and it's funny because we haven't spoken since Malibu when you guys were playing in the fall, and you offered me my favorite quote of this 23-24 season because I knew right then, watching Jack, watching Eli, I asked you, I said, hey, these freshmen are special, and you responded to me, Alex, if I can't get these freshmen to be All-American, I should be fired. And I'm just curious, as you've seen both of them, and again, Eli's lost once all season long, I think Jack's 20-5 now overall in the year. You know, those are not light words. I know you don't just say them casually. I'm curious what you've seen from those guys. I know you've kind of alluded to Jack already, but if that's played out throughout their first season, you know, that prediction back in the fall, if they really do seem that special.
They're special. I mean, like I said, I said the same thing, you know, to Parsa with Gab, with Diallo, and with Liam. I think we have to do a good job, you know, finding talent and us. So that's the first piece, the talent. Now, you know this, but there's 300 players that can be All-Americans. Okay. And what separates them truly, you know, is the consistency of everyday stuff, right? How are they going to train? How do they want to get better? And that's my job, to create an environment where they come to practice and they want to get better and they want to get better and they want to get better. And after that, are they hungry to do that? You know, it's going to be the last piece. Do they want to be all Americans? And I explained to them how all Americans are all Americans, not in important days. They're all Americans when nobody's watching. They're all Americans in September, October, November, you know, all throughout. And those players, Jack had a lot of talent. And I can put Matt Rankin in this conversation, who's very talented, just had a tough, not a lot of light a day because those guys are doing so good. He's very talented also. But Eli comes in and we saw his first 2 weeks of practice. And the first thing I said to the locker room, I said, well, this guy's built different. And I said it out loud in front of the team. He just was not a freshman in practice. Did not let go of one point. Did not refocus. Just little things. And I try to help them kind of, that was a bad day. This is not an All-American day. And what they did much better throughout the season is they are starting to understand. They're starting to believe that they are special players. And that's, we'll say, the last piece is belief, you know, after the talent, our plan as a coaching staff, their work ethic, and then the last piece is the belief. And they're starting to believe in themselves.
Yeah. I always say it goes Djokovic's backhand, then Zverev, then Korda, then Nishesh. Now Eli's on that list. I just want you to know he's now fitting on my backhand list and slowly rising up the rankings, because I'm just like, come on now. Like, how old's this kid?
I'm telling you, they're special players. I think I'll see them. You will see them. No, after that, you know, being top 100 is different, but those two players can be top 300 ATP players.
Yeah, no, again, really special stuff. And, you know, again, I don't want to say they've had bad years, because you look at the numbers, Taha's 14-9, Josh is 12-9. You play in the top two of a lineup. That is so hard to do, particularly in SEC play. But certainly they have both had some ups and downs. And so to see those two in particular, one of their final weekends on the job in Lexington, deliver those straight set wins. You mentioned Josh, 5-2 down in that first set. Talk to me about the years they had and two guys who do seem to be playing their best tennis come May.
They're two of my favorites. They've sacrificed a lot, you know, through the years. I think Taha loved Wake Forest and loved that team and didn't play too much by the end. And I think, you know, he transferred and played, you know, the 3-4 slot with Josh, and we're such big components of our runs, you know, last year. And they've been patient, you know, but the other, you know, Alafia and Gab and Liam were always ahead of them. And I was so happy and I was so proud of them to play 1 and 2. I think at the beginning, they maybe put a little too much pressure on themselves. Josh had the fall off because he was hurt. So we put him at 1 and he had lost some matches, was not playing great. I think lost a little bit of confidence. And, you know, in college, it's tough to get it back. You just have a few days and then you're playing again. And we couldn't get, you know, 2-3 weeks. And then Taha always, and I think the country doesn't understand what happens with Taha. I'll tell you the secret with Taha is we've keep saying, hey, he plays sometimes not great matches against people that are not as good as him. And that's true. And that's in the mind. He has to respect. We're trying to teach him. You have to respect everybody. Everybody you play at 1 can beat you. He always has a good January, February, and he did it this year. But for a month, I think people don't understand, he does the Ramadan and he doesn't eat and drink and can only practice 1 hour for 1 month. And that's the March month. And you're saying the March month, we're coming from in Kentucky, you go from indoors to outdoors. It's really a hard transition. And he had a hard transition with that and a hard transition with his religion. And that's been, and I've been so proud of him coming out of that. And now he's starting to play a little bit better tennis, and he's got the pro tour to look forward to. And he knows, like, listen, he wants to make a run at being top 20. And I think I told him he can, if he, you know, we got Harvard, we got the NCAAs, you can make a deep run in the tournament. He knows it. And Josh is starting to click again. He's starting to get his confidence back. He's got, a little bit of a streak now. I know on paper, some people might say, hey, Kentucky will struggle today at 1 and 2. You know, they're playing a guy that's, you know, 5 and the other guy's 15. But bring him on. I think on any day, my boys can beat any day, anybody.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you sharing that insight. And yeah, I mean, again, it speaks to those two as players. That's funny you mentioned that about Taha. I always call that tennis chameleon, where you can play as well as the opponent across from you. You can play as poorly as the opponent across from you. And certainly there are times when Taha will do that. But, you know, again, watch the Ozalans match. Watch him when he's at his best. We know all the winning Josh has done over the last 3 years. So certainly that success speaks for themselves. I'm trying to ask all of these coaches the same question. So the next category I have for you, highlights of the season. And I actually have nominees if you want to hear my list.
Give them to me.
All right, and then you can pick what is your highlight of the year. I think clear cut, you go through the SEC regular season undefeated. That Tennessee match in particular, I imagine that's on the short list. SEC tournament run through to the championship once again, I imagine that's on the short list. That Illinois match, just to turn it the way you guys did, I'm sure that's on the short list. I also have the season Cosnay has had, because I think certainly, again, for him to be like 20-5 or something crazy like that as well has to be on the short list. The way the freshmen have played this well, I think, has to be on the short list as well. I mean, again, a lot of different things to pick from. Maybe the fact that you guys lost that national indoors to, you know, that maybe that was an unexpected development, but the way your team seems to have rebounded from that, maybe that's a sneaky highlight for you as a coach. A lot of good things to pick from. What are you going with?
I go with a team win. I'll go with the team win just because that's who we are. The Tennessee match, I think, is a big one because we had a share of the title and not outright. And, you know, Tennessee is a very good team, and Chris and James are very, very good coaches. They were going to be ready for us. And just us weathering that storm a little bit and wanting to be the outright is not an easy thing to do. And we know Jonas and Monday, who we have so much respect for. I think the best player in the country this year. You know, and Matsuya too, and you know where they're good and stuff like that. It's just overall, we just after this win, we're like, it's a special win. We're special, and whatever, you know, people are talking about us, we can beat anybody now.
Yeah, I was going to say also on the highlights, maybe Gab and all of his Davis Cup success. Like, maybe that's also, you know, again, there are different things you can turn to. And that leads me to my next category, unexpected developments of the year. What surprised you the most? Again, the freshman being this good, I'm sure is on the short list. We've covered that. Is it the fact that you've played 7 different doubles teams, I think, at the number 3 spot or 6? Like, what has been the biggest unexpected surprise?
We are so proud of our doubles. You guys can just talk. I mean, Kentucky was a 40% doubles win percentage the last few years. And we won like 8, 9, I don't know what our streak was until Illinois. But we'll get back on the. I've been very proud of our doubles. We actually, we love to work singles and stuff. And this year we put a little bit more time into our doubles, just because we thought, listen, that's just a team that we can be good. One, we can be good in the doubles, and we're going to need to be good in the fall. We had a lot of injuries and we were worried. So we started working. We got to get up 1-0 on some of the teams, because if we're down, you know, we don't quite have the same team as last year. So we need to be a little bit more complete. And the boys bought in, and I'm so proud of JJ also with Josh, who have had an incredible year at one. I think they're seated 3 in the NCAA. So it gives us a little room. And Jack and Taha too have been incredible also.
2 follow-ups on this question. You talk about how complete this team is. Last 3 years looking at it, 2 years ago, 2022, you guys make the NCAA final. Last season, you guys win the SEC tournament. You make the NCAA quarterfinals. This year, obviously, you miss out on the indoors, but undefeated SEC regular season, SEC tournament champions. Is this the most complete of the 3 groups?
I think we were, we were pretty complete. Yeah, maybe from top to bottom, doubles, from front to back, probably so. I think it's funny because you look at college, maybe last year, the team we got to the final, you look at the roster, you're like, holy crap, Kentucky was loaded, you know. Now we'll see what Eli, like I said, is Eli going to be the All-American he can be, and Jack and stuff. But when you had Liam, Gab, Milan, you know, and Francois, and and then you had a Lafia and Ta, you know, so... I just tell you, they're the most resilient group. We had some very, very tough groups, but we can go on the road and squeak some wins that maybe in the past we just kind of lose here and there. They love each other. And I think also another thing that we've done the last few years, they know their role. Everybody knows their role. And I think when we see somebody is struggling, somebody's going to kind of push a little harder to get the win.
Yeah, it is fascinating, right? By the way, I've never offered you a personal thank you, because I will be saying this till my dying day, that we got robbed last year at NCAAs on the men's side. Like, all 8 teams were so exceptional. And the winner of the NCAA championship, yeah, Virginia got the trophy, but the Sun was the real winner that just knocked out every team except you guys against Virginia, which was the best match that we had of the weekend on the men's side. And so, again, that's my thank you to you guys, because, man, was that thrilling. But, yeah, I do, to your point, like, they were very good rosters across the board. It's fun to think about how this team would compare.
Yeah, and I heard you. Like I said, I listen once in a while. We're a very tough team. Like you said, yeah. We can at the top there. We have two seniors. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Jaden, and I know he can lose some matches, win some matches. He's the most talented. If he is on, you're gonna be in big trouble. And come and play us at 4, 5, and 6. I think every team can look at us and go, holy crap. We can beat him, but it's going to go down to 4-3. And when you know that it's going to be very, very hard, it is stressful for 3 hours.
Yeah, you mentioned 4, 5, and 6. I think Kostanay is the most unexpected development for me. And you said it earlier, sophomore season is typically when it clicks. What is it about this year that, I mean, maybe the level's not that different, but clearly results-wise, 20-3, I charged him for 2 extra losses earlier. I apologize. Like, that's ridiculous.
Shaw has been, you know, it was a hard first year, kind of freshman, very nervous on the court, never swung through his shots. And the 5 and 6 are, you know, this are really hard spots. And this year, I think just much more mature mentally, just trust himself much more. His serve, I think what has happened also is just two things. His backhand is spectacular. It's one of the most beautiful one-hand backhand ever. And he's made, I don't know, there's a little, if you pay attention to his matches, and he's worked on it a lot. We open up the court more with his short cross-court backhand, and it's made the court just so much more hard for the players to cover. But he is somebody that is so professional. He is very meticulous about his job, and once his confidence is set, I think he's starting to understand, like, listen, my coaches believe in me, I believe in myself, and they have this system where next year they expect me to move up in the lineup, and it's going to be, you know, I have to act like a one. We tell our guys, you know, like Jack and Eli and whoever the young ones are coming, Matt, and we expect them one day to play the one spot. They got to act like number one, and this Shah has played incredible tennis. And I wish, like, I can tell you right, if he was ranked top 50 and played the NCAAs, I think he could make a semis and final and get there. He is that good of a tennis player.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch him have so much success. You do a lot of interviews and talk about a lot of different things throughout the course of the season. What's one aspect of coaching this team this year? Maybe I describe it as a coaching pet project for you. Maybe it's, again, a guy's inside-in forehand that you hope people notice, or whatever it may be, maybe an off-the-court thing you've really honed in on with this team. What is something that you hope people notice, something you've worked on particularly hard with this group?
Well, like I said, we worked a little harder this year in the double, so hopefully people notice that and you look at our stats. But I mean, like I said, we try as much as we can. Those guys that come to our program want to play after school, and you know, the next level has been about serving plus one or trying to now Jack is not quite there yet. This is, I think, his next evolution to be a top 200 player. He's got to be more aggressive. Like short balls, he's got to come in all the time. We want anything that's short that we want to come forward and attack. Now, sometimes they do get nervous and they don't do it. You know this.
Sure.
But we work that a lot. We work a lot on our serve and returning and neutralizing off the first two balls. And so if we're very solid on those first two shots, good luck, because after that, we're in very good shape and we can play. You know, we work really, really hard on our hours and our fitness. So if points go, you know, past 5, 6, 7, 8, and you do it over and over against the Wildcats, you're going to run into a deep match, which, like I said, and we're not afraid to play there.
Yeah. If you could go back to January, time machine's been invented, and unfortunately the restriction on the time machine is only January. You can't go back any further. What advice would you give yourself heading into the year?
Be patient. You know, this crew, we thought, I promise you, in December when we're talking with Matt and Carrie and in the office, and we're like, okay, we hopefully we're top 20, 25 or, you know, around there, and we're 6-6 in our conference, and we can play our best tennis at the end. And after the Alabama, like I said, just be patient and just keep working on the process. We're very good with that. We always focus on the process, and losing a match is totally okay with us. And just do it the right way. So just be patient and trust your guys. And they've done that. Like I'm so proud of them for them losing that Alabama match. And it gives us a little drive, a little bit more fire. It gives us also, you need to understand that, I don't know how many teams have missed the national indoors and been top 5 by the end of the year. It is pretty, pretty hard, I think, to do. But we had that week of training block, you know, where we were watching matches from home, and we were so upset. We thought we should have been there, and we were good enough for that. And we trained so hard that week, and it just kind of pushed us a little bit. You know, we still lost that match against Duke, but Duke is really good at home and we respect them. I think they'll give TCU a very, very good match. That'll be a very good match to watch. I wish I could watch that. And then, but after that, you know, it's confidence. Once we, like I said, that Tennessee match gives us like, okay, we can, you know, and then the SEC, just kind of us running through a little bit. Now we've got through past exams and the walkouts are ready to play, you know, Harvard, but we know they're very good.
Hold that TCU-Duke thought, because I have a question tangential to that coming up a little later. For the record, last time team didn't make the national indoors, finished top five last season. NC State women, the difference being they added a top 100 player by the name of Diana Schneider after the national indoors.
And, wow.
Yeah, that can change your fortunes a little bit. I don't think that happened to the Kentucky Wildcats this year, unless you got Gab back and you're not telling me. You know, I saw Carson's back for the A&M women. So, you know, again, just shoot me the text so I can tweet it before Parsa.
These days, you never know. And I'm not going to tell you if Gab or Liam comes back. But it might.
Oh, I've missed you. It's good to have you back on the show. Well, you mentioned trust your guys, and I want you to know you're my third interview in this series. One coach answered honestly. The other coach gave me an answer, but I'm hoping no one bails out of this. I know with the premise being that you trust them all, you love them all, but you mentioned trust your guys. Three all, third set to decide things. Who's the guy on your roster that you say, you know what? Win or lose, if this is who we're going down with, I can live with this.
Naturally, I'm going to say all, but at the end of the day, Kentucky boy for Kentucky, I'm going to go with Eli Stevenson. Like I said, I think he's just been a great teammate, wonderful person, and he's got blue blood. He's born with it. 3-3, I don't care who it is, 1-6 through his career, I'm going with him.
I love that. No, it matters to root for the school you end up playing for. It's just an extra level. You can't fake that. And so I appreciate you mentioning that aspect, because that has to be cool for Eli, by the way, all season long to have that Kentucky Wildcat on his chest. Let's look beyond Kentucky, though, now for this final series of questions. Give me a non-Kentucky-centric, it could be a team, coach, player, whatever it is that stands out to you first from across the country that's impressed you this year.
Maybe two of them. I mean, there's a lot of good coaches left in this field that have done an incredible job. I think the consistency of Ohio State has been to me incredible. Like I've done, you know, we've been very good for three, and for him to do it this many years to have his guys ready. And I think that's very special. The consistency is always the hardest thing to do. It's not, we can always go up, but what he's done, I think, is special. I have a lot of respect for him. We're two of the same people, so we would not go for a drink together. But I think Arizona is a team that I would not, you know, I think is very dangerous. I think Shields has done a great job over there.
He said it on our show, would you be down to get in a bar fight with him? If he's
anytime.
On your side?
Yeah. Anytime.
I don't want to be on the other end of that. You guys are winning the fight. I have no doubt about it. That's good.
I'm a peaceful guy, but I won't throw the first one. But if somebody throws the first one, then there's going to be a few coming back.
The problem is you and Clancy are throwing that second one coming back, and then they're done. And so that's what I like to see. Well, you mentioned – oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut
you
off.
I'll say one more thing. Yeah. I'll give some love to Monday. Just because we recruited him, and I know I think he's a wonderful young man. I think he's going to do great on the professional tour. I think he's carried his team for a long – I mean, like, not carried, but just really – I mean, there's a point and a half every time he plays at the end of the day. He's a very special player, very fair, very – he deserves all the good things that happens to him.
Someone that good shouldn't be that kind. I agree. Like, you'd think there, and it's not that he doesn't have an edge to him, because he's going out there to win, but he is so, the moment the rackets are put down, it's like Steve Johnson, where it's like, all right, but let's hang out now, and I want to say hello to you.
Yeah, so very, very special player.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you mentioned TCU Duke earlier. Is that your favorite Sweet 16 matchup that isn't your own?
I'm trying to think. So I just know that side because, you know,
you play the winner.
Yeah, kind of like that. I'm trying to think who's playing.
So it's Ohio State, Mississippi State, Columbia, Arizona, Virginia, South Carolina, Florida State, Tennessee, Stanford, Wake, and Texas A&M.
The Tennessee Florida State intrigues me.
That's a fun
just
one,
again
right?
by the top two, you know, the two of the best players that are playing at one, you know, and I think it'll be a very good match. I mean, all those matches are good, but like I said, the Duke TCU intrigues me a little bit. Tennessee Florida State, you know, Harvard Kentucky is interesting, but I think now, and I know some of the teams are top four, and I know on paper they're special teams. But don't count out all the others. It's I think anything can happen during the day, and we will see what happens.
Is there a national championship favorite right now?
I mean, I think you have some contenders. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Ohio State deserves it. It deserves the one seed. I think Texas is playing great. But like I said, I think the Wildcats are coming for you.
Yeah, I love to hear it. Well, then before I ask you about your round of 16 matchup, my final question for you, it's a little trivia because I view it as my job to educate the college tennis populace at large. And if they're hearing this podcast and have listened to the previous ones, then they're hearing this for the third time. So they'll know the answer. But does Kentucky men's tennis head coach Cedric Kaufman know the answer to our trivia question I'm asking every coach? We have an undefeated team right now. Entering the round of 16, the Oklahoma State women, 29-0. We both know, being around college tennis, how difficult that is to do. Can you name, on both the men's and women's side, or I should say men's or women's, the last undefeated national champions?
I think Virginia was maybe undefeated before the NCAAs. Did they...
So you're correct. I don't want to give you the year because I feel like you might be able to guess what year the Virginia men. They're the last one on the men's side.
Yes. The women, I would say with a tradition, maybe would Stanford be one of them?
So you're 2-for-2 on programs. Right now you are tied for the lead in answering this question. Can you get either of the years though? I think you can get the Virginia men.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think if they played you in the round of 16 that year. I don't think so. They played Georgia. They played Georgia in the semis. I don't want to say who they played in the finals because that might give it away.
I'm not gonna get it. I think I'm thinking about maybe 3 years. So I'm not gonna.
2013 UVA. Yeah, the Jenkins was a match away.
It's the year. Yeah, it's the year after. In 2012, we were very good with the Quigley years, and they. It's the next year they did very good. That's right.
Yes, and then
the Stanford.
Yeah, 2006. It's been a while on the women's side, although.
But I did good.
No, I'm impressed. You had Virginia ready. And again, powers of deduction. Stanford was there. It's been a while. Now, the 2021 UNC women, they were undefeated going into the semis before Pepperdine beat them 4-3, one of my favorite NCAA matches. But it's been a while since we've had a team in this sort of late stages competing for it. You're tied.
I think it will be harder and harder to do that. Just with the portal, with everything, it's just going to be much harder to just power through those teams. And remember, our Power 5 is going to go to Power 4. It's going to get, you know, we have Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC. Good luck going undefeated nowadays. Yeah. It's going to be really hard.
Which begs the question, I should have asked you this earlier in the most unexpected question. How shocking was it to be like, oh my God, we just went the regular season undefeated? Like, was there a moment where you, Matt, everyone looks at each other and it's like, it happened?
Yeah, so we only take care of 3 days at Kentucky. We talk about yesterday, so we try to learn from yesterday. We conquered today, and we plan for tomorrow. Okay. Now, we never talk about that stuff with the players, but for sure in the office, me and Matt and Kay are like, I mean, I can't believe we did this. You know, we actually never talked about it until the media people come to us and wants to post, hey, Kentucky's 10-0, we're going to post that. We're like, no, please don't post that. We don't want any more pressure than we already have.
Yeah, I love to hear it. Well, then, last but not least, let's talk about your matchup this weekend. And this is what I want to do for every coach. I want to offer my assessment of the match, and then you tell me if you think I'm crazy or not. Looking at this matchup, a matchup, by the way, your team saw on February 9th. You guys won it 5-2 in Lexington. I mean, Harvard's good. And I think in particular, looking at the numbers, and we talked about them earlier, but they walk in thinking, yeah, Cooper can beat Taha. Yeah, Henry can beat Josh. Yeah, like their top four can hang with any top four in the country. And look, you know, statistics-wise, if you're going to attack this Kentucky team, I guess you have to do it through the top four because Eli's lost once. Jack doesn't lose at five. I think they're going to give you guys a test this weekend. I think it's going to be a really fun match. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think I think it's 50-50. I do. I think Andrew has done a great job with this team. Went through the season. I think took one or two losses that he should not have had. But these guys are tough and they're very good players and we respect them a lot. The 50-50, and I can't tell my guys how we tip that balance will be up to us just to help you win some points here and there. We don't talk about, I don't think, and I think you know that. I know you guys talk about it. Hey, you know, you got to beat Kentucky there. You got to, yeah, and it's true. But we, as coaches, I feel Taha can win his match. I feel Josh, you know, anybody can win his match. And I think anybody can lose a match. I think you can still beat Eli and you can still beat Jack and Shaw and those things like that. And good luck. But it's possible. They're not invincible. Just like their players are not. Just like Ohio State, we feel that we can take them on. Mm-hmm. We know it's going to go again a deep match, and it's going to be a tough match. We expect that. I hope, you know, for the fans, we play outside. It's not delayed, things like that. Mm-hmm. We have most respect for Harvard and their team, and I know they want to make a big push. But we do too. So we'll see who has the final say.
Yeah, always fun to see a team's play twice in the course of regular season, because at that point there are no secrets. And certainly we're looking forward to covering that one on our Crack Rackets feed this weekend. I always appreciate getting the chance to chat with you, Coach Kaufman. Appreciate you taking the time to jump onto the podcast today. And obviously wishing you the Wildcats success this weekend.
Thank you, and thank you for all you do. It's awesome.
Appreciate it. Great chat, Coach.
Thank you. Bye.